Lowe'sPizza.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Hey neighbors, would you like to work at home and earn a guaranteed 20% commission plus bonuses selling ads and promoting a pair of cult radio shows with a loyal and rapidly growing listener base? Think about working part-time or full-time for the Paracast, the Tech Night Owl Live, and our famous tech blog, TechNightOwl.com. So if you have a background in sales or marketing, and radio experience is a plus, and you're ready to grow your income, please email your resume and references to sales@theparacast.com. That's sales@theparacast.com. With Gene and Chris on the Paracast, we have Jerome Clark, and we're having a regular old time here, as opposed to a non-regular old time?
Young time.
A regular young time. All right, so we're having a regular young time.
Okay. Polterwurst, again, is the one asking all these questions, and thank you so much for your interest in our forum and in our guest today, Jerome Clark. He's asking some interesting questions. Here's one that we kind of touched on before, talking about possible agenda that John Keel may have had, but he asks, I intentionally avoided the terms demons because of the more negative connotations Christian mythology has given it, but sometimes I have the impression every ghost hunter and hobby paranormalist wants to chalk UFOs, hauntings, etc. up to demonic entities. Why are these all-purpose bad guys still so popular today? And he adds, personally, I like tricksters better.
I do too.
Yeah. Isn't that all kind of in the eye of the beholder? If it's got pointed ears and a forked tail and a bad attitude,
well,
it's
I don't
demonic.
Think you get too many settings of things quite that convenient. But yeah, I think tricksters is a good word. You know, it's just, you know, funny things happen, and sometimes you have the feeling that you're on the receiving end of some kind of joke, generally a harmless one. Actually, you know, these experiences are often frightening to people, understandably so, but they are overwhelmingly harmless, except maybe to your peace of mind.
Yeah, that makes sense to me, too. I the whole demonic thing, Nick Redfern's book, Final Events, was quite interesting. Are you familiar with that book? I think Ray Boucher.
I haven't read it. I've read some of Nick Redfern's books, but I haven't read that one.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to keep up with Nick. He's pretty prolific. He had a source, Ray Boucher, I think in Oklahoma, was approached by some secret government group, I guess nicknamed the Collins Elite, that have been following ufology since the Jack Parson days, basically, and they're convinced that these are demonic entities that are harvesting souls, and that there's this fundamentalist sort of view within this group, within the government, that's, I guess, cross-agency. Interesting concept, but I think kind of got the blinders on a little bit. There's a lot of phenomenal events out there that are neither positive or negative. There's even some that are positive. So it'd be hard to throw everything into that demonic basket, I would think.
Oh, it's just a pointless and useless exercise. It's just like you throw a name at something and you think you've explained it.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of that in it.
I've been accused of that, actually.
But so you are a basket thrower.
No.
You know, I have this idea, which I keep returning to, of experience anomalies. And I explain to people that I don't mean this as an explanation. This is simply a description of
right.
how certain things seem to work. It doesn't tell you what they are. It just tells you how they work and what their nature is, what their limitations are from which we can infer from long observation of people's experiences of these things. But we don't have explanations. You know, we can describe these things and put them in categories, but we're not explaining them.
Yeah, I agree. It's really hard to come to any firm, hard conclusions based on the bewildering quality and quantity of data that we have.
I believe that some of these things are potentially explainable. And I don't mean within you know, explained away. I don't mean like that. But I mean they're explainable within current knowledge or slightly expanded current knowledge. But the truly mysterious things, the experience anomalies, I think are not only beyond current knowledge, they're almost beyond current vocabulary. Even our vocabulary fails us when we're trying to talk about them.
Yeah, languaging really is an issue, especially when you're out in the field attempting to interview somebody that's had a life-changing event occur to them. Sometimes it's very difficult for them to even come up with the proper languaging to really accurately express the event or their, you know, the effect of the event on them. And I think that's a very good point. Languaging is one of those things you don't hear about much in investigator manuals. These events do tend to leave people speechless almost. Let's change pace a little bit here. Gog Smacky, one of our more active members at form.theparacast.com, posted an interesting question about everybody's favorite departed nemesis. Do you think people like Phil Klass would have been government, military-sponsored official disinformation agents? I ask because for supposedly being an intelligent man, some of Klass's explanations for UFO sightings bordered on the ludicrous. I can only surmise that often Klass was expected to use any method at his disposal to debunk certain cases. He did not always use good science, and he would have been aware that other scientists would look down on some of his words as not being worthy of the qualifications he held. What are your feelings about the debunkers out there, a la Phil Klass and James Randi and Penn and Teller? There's a few of them out there that this McGahee character here down in Tucson. Some of these people, they come off so dismissive that it's pretty obvious that they haven't even looked into a particular case. They're just spouting some sort of company line. Do you think there's some sort of disinformation effort being sponsored?
No. No, I think that these individuals are sincerely convinced of what they're saying. And yes, all those criticisms of their methods and their logic and so on, there's a lot to that. There's a lot of faulty logic. And closed-mindedness and all these things are much in evidence, but one thing that's not in evidence is that they're insincere and they're on some sinister agency's payroll. I don't believe that for a minute, and there's no evidence of that. I think that when I see some of these characters, I think of the famous definition of a fanatic, who is someone who, once he's lost sight of his goal, redoubles his efforts.
Right.
I think these are just, you know, on the other side, on the pro side, you know, there are really fanatical people. I won't name them, but we could all know who they are.
I'll name some for you.
We are equal opportunity offenders, Chris. Why don't you name a few?
Well, there's a lot of folks in the exopolitics movement that I think are a little bit overboard and out there.
You mean like somebody we had on the show a couple of weeks ago?
Well, I think Ed would actually be one of the more conservative types. I'm talking about people like Alfred Weber and Michael Sala and David Wilcock. And there's a number of people. Most of them have been featured at some point or other in Project Camelot's archives. There's a lot of murder that people have to get their hip waders on to wade through out there in this whole morass of a subject. Are you finding yourself, Jerry, becoming a little disillusioned by non-critical thinking out there in the masses and the way the TV programs are really dumbed down subject matter and people are buying into it and it's becoming their belief system or is adversely coloring their belief system in a very watered down sort of, I don't know, just ill-informed way. Where do you come down on that? Do you think media is doing a good job?
Well, no, I think media are doing a terrible job. But when you ask if I've been disillusioned, the premise of your question is wrong, because to be disillusioned, I would have to be illusioned at one time.
Oh, boy, I'll tell you what, we've got Jerome Clark, and he's neither illusioned or disillusioned. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Hey, neighbors, you've seen all those crazy, wacky products on TV. The perfect tortilla, easy covers, hot booties, furniture fix, petty spin, and more. Where do you find all that stuff? You go to asseenontv.com because this is the one-stop source for all of these TV goods advertised. Find all your favorites as seen on TV. Check them out asseenontv.com. And by the way, save 10%. Here's what you do. Use the code SEEN1, S-E-E-N number 1, SEEN1. Go to asseenontv.com to order. Save 10%. Purchase this summer's hottest As Seen on TV items. Save 10%. Or call 1-866-277-3366. 1-866-277-3366. The code SEEN1 to save 10%.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for the enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
We've all heard the phrase, don't judge a book by its cover. A wise saying for sure. Now apply that wisdom to nutrition. Don't judge milk by the animal. Camel milk, the best kept health secret ever. See for yourself at camelmilkforsale.com and look for the Summer Camel Milk Special. Loaded with health benefits far superior to other milk, camel milk has antibacterial, antiviral, and anti-tumor properties, is rich in B vitamins, and is 3 times higher in vitamin C than cow's milk, 10 times higher in iron. Plus, it contains 52 units of insulin-like proteins per liter, effectively lowering blood sugar levels. Many of our members testified that drinking camel milk reversed diabetes and greatly improved autism. Camel milk comes fresh or frozen from your trusted local family farm, shipped on dry ice to preserve freshness. Go to CamelMilkForSale.com now and look under products and pricing for the summer special with free bonus pints. That's CamelMilkForSale.com.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Are we disillusioned, or are we all illusions, period?
I think jaded and cynical might be more accurate, but...
I'm jaded, you know, he's cynical.
Yeah. Well, I've been interested in this, and I'm sure, you know, Gene and I have a parallel history in this, you know, going back probably, you know, late 50s. And even when I was a kid and starting to read UFO books, you know, and beginning to figure out there was a larger subculture, an international subculture, people interested in these things. And even when I was young, I understood that there was a lot of real nonsense, and there were real gullible people out there, like, for example, people who believed George Adamski's stories about meeting with Venusians. Even when I was 11 or 12 years old, I didn't believe that.
Yeah.
And so as long as I've been in this field, I've seen pretty much the same thing, you know, a minority of intelligent, critical-minded people trying to do the best to understand what's going on, and a lot of silly, gullible people pursuing their own wishful thinking and agendas and so on. So I've never been illusioned about this. I've always seen this, and it just plays out drearily over and over and over again, and that's just the way it is.
Like a bad broken record. One of my favorites was Daniel Fry handing out chunks of ivory soap with the dove feathers or something stuck in them, claiming they were parts of a spaceship, and people taking them and putting them in places of honor in their houses and stuff.
Well, I remember a guy, and Gene will remember it too, Buck Nelson.
Oh, yes.
Missouri hillbilly who was traveled to Mars and Venus and saw racial segregation there. And he was selling pieces of hair from a Venusian dog to people who apparently had money but no brains.
So basically his claim went to the dogs.
Yeah.
And but there was another guy who claimed to have gotten a pancake from E.T. Remember that guy, Joe Simonton?
Joe Simonton, Eagle River, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Although I don't think that Simonton, whatever, I don't know whether that story was true or not. I mean, it's an odd and interesting story that doesn't really seem to go anywhere. Nobody can prove anything one way or another. But he wasn't like Buck Nelson or Adamski or some of these guys who were clearly, you know, involved in some kind of metaphysical swindle.
Yeah, Billy Meyer.
Yeah, that sort of thing.
Hear that, Michael Horn?
Professional
Billy Meyer.
Contactees who had, you know, commercial operation going.
Right. Where do you come down on the Ed Walters case?
Well, you know, I tend to be skeptical. I try to think about Gulf Breeze as seldom as possible. That it wasn't working out the way I understand UFOs work out, you know, where they stand around so you can get a whole bunch of good pictures of them.
They're posing.
Yeah. Well, I love the famous shot.
That to me was more like what the contactees were doing.
Yeah.
Classic 50s contactees and Billy Meyer, guys like that.
Yeah, I love the classic Walter shot of the object hovering over the road in front of him, and there's no reflection of the lights from the object on the hood of his car. That one
doesn't pass the
I don't know how Bruce Maccabee ever signed off on some of those shots, but he did.
I don't really understand that, and I have a lot of respect for Bruce, but I don't.
He got paid a lot of money. He got paid a lot of money, Jerry.
I don't think that was why Bruce has much integrity. Bruce is a good guy, and he's done a lot of good work. I just
he does,
don't understand the conclusions he came to in this particular instance.
Well, people sometimes come to conclusions that other people, for some reason, will not accept. I don't think we're all totally logical, so there you go.
Well, that sounded logical.
Well, you know, as I always say, I could be wrong. And maybe Bruce is right. I don't know that he's wrong and I'm right. That's just my impression from many reasons and long experience. In the
smell test.
Yeah, that's it. It's just your instinct tells you this is not. This
something,
can't be.
Something's not quite right.
Yeah.
Well, here's a good question from Conrad Hartman, who's one of our newer members. Yeah, Sherry, does ridicule or fear of ridicule play a role in how a witness reports an experience and how a researcher documents the event? In other words, do witnesses ever censor themselves in order not to sound crazy or in order to conform to an interviewer's expectations? And, I guess part two, do writers ever cherry-pick data in order to build a case for an argument while ignoring other high weirdness elements? Are there elements in the field of paranormal study that many researchers are uncomfortable discussing? Kind of a three-parter there for you.
Well, these are all good questions.
Yeah.
And first of all, I want to say you probably will notice that I have never used the word paranormal.
Yeah.
To me, the paranormal has a specific meaning. It refers to the stuff of parapsychology and psychical research. And I am no authority on those things. I have read some stuff on those subjects. I worked at Fate magazine for many years, so I know something about that, but I'm not an authority. I am dealing with what I think of as anomalies.
Right.
And these are more like, you know, ostensible physical phenomena. But ridicule plays a huge role.
Absolutely.
In the entire discussion, the entire matter, the entire history of ufology, Fordianism and so on. Yes, ridicule affects every element of our study of this. It keeps witnesses from speaking up. It affects how researchers and investigators and writers who are sympathetic to these things, like me, write about them and what we will say publicly.
Well, let me ask you a question that you raised there. Okay, what are you reluctant to talk about because of potential ridicule?
Sometimes when you deal with this thing, and you guys don't know exactly what I'm talking about, you know, you're interviewing a witness, you're reading a case, you're just thinking about these things generally, and you think, you know, maybe this is what it's about. But you know that what you're thinking is fantastic. You can't prove it. It's only an instinct, you know, an informed instinct, but based upon your understanding of how these things work, and you have some idea of some kind of unifying theory about what causes these things, how they work. Unless you're dumb, and there are a lot of not very thoughtful people who will go forward with fantastic explanations, fantastic theories, which they pass off as, of course, revealed truth. These people get shot down, and I think that probably they deserve to get shot down. But, you know, some cases are so strange that the late Mark Chervinsky used to call them hopeless cases.
Yeah, bizarre, I think, would be an understatement.
These
the best cases tend to have those elements.
More, but I realize that I have to be careful how I think about them, how I talk and write about them.
Yeah, I think some of the best cases have those bizarre elements in them, and I think that that's what you know our questioner was kind of referring to, is that sometimes in order to be taken seriously, I think witnesses do tend to factor out or filter out or edit out bizarre elements that are so unbelievable that it would, you know, cast the whole rest of the report or event into question because of one element. And I found that quite a bit in my work, and I've had people come to me after the fact, months or even years later, and say, you know, remember that case that I told you about? Well, this has been bugging me ever since. I didn't tell you about X or Y because I didn't think you'd believe me.
Yeah.
Gotta believe this. We're talking to Jerome Clark, author of Unexplained, third edition with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, I can help you reduce or eliminate your tax debts and end your tax nightmare. Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce and eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. And with the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
What's the difference in all these online emergency food stores? The difference is Deseret. DeseretFoodStores.com has the best price on a one-year supply of restaurant-style gourmet food starting at just $695 for 875 servings. For the highest quality food with a 30-year shelf life, experience the Deseret difference at DeseretFoodStore.com, spelled D-E-S-E-R-E-T, or call 801-444-1444. DeseretFoodStore.com. Food for now, food for life.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, tow line, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
This is Jim Mosley, editor of Saucer Smear, and I'm here to say a good word or two about the Paracast, which I believe is the gold standard of paranormal radio. Listen to it if you can.
With Gene and Chris, you're in the Paracast with Jerome Clark. He has a third edition of Unexplained, and we're talking here about, I guess, witnesses who want to be politically correct or something, and therefore may withhold the really strange aspects of their encounters. Now, we also see this in terms of people who investigate or report on these cases, that they hear these things and they say, you know, I can't report that because MUFON is not going to believe it. It's not going to really work with the public. Do you see that too?
Well, all of us have what you might call a sense of the possible. And I think, for example, the hardcore debunkers obviously have less a sense of the possible than we three have, and I'm sure most of your listeners. But all of us at some point have a boggle threshold beyond which intellectually, emotionally, whatever, we cannot go. And that's not entirely bad. You know, one manifestation of that is a critical filter. But you have to balance all these things as you're studying these phenomena, listening to witness testimony, and so on. It's really very difficult, and as long as I have been at this, I'm still working on it. And as in more conventional inquiry, one thing that helps you focus on things is to have a theoretical framework in which certain events, certain phenomena, logically follow and are connected. And at the same time, there are going to be things outside that. And you're going to have to decide whether these things are trivial or they're important. And if you think they're important, you're going to have to revise or expand or change the theoretical framework. But there's nothing wrong with having a reasonable theoretical framework to guide you in your inquiry.
Yeah, but you also have to have an open mind, and I think we owe it to ourselves as investigators to never factor anything out or factor anything in. I think we need to be as objective about it as possible. And
well, that's not saying that's not what I'm saying. Of course we should be objective, and of course we should be open-minded. But if you don't have some kind of broad theoretical framework, then you're just taking in just sort of random stimuli, and they're not coming together as anything. It's just like you have a whole bunch of curiosities that lead nowhere. No, you have to have some idea, and you have to test these hypotheses.
Right.
You have to say that this validates the hypothesis, and if you find something that's even bigger that invalidates the hypothesis, well, then, of course, you need a different hypothesis or at least a revision of your working hypothesis. But well,
yeah, you have to be flexible enough to do that.
Ideological about it.
Yeah, you have to be flexible to be able to change whatever theoretical framework you have based on the evidence that you're collecting and your analysis of it.
Well, yeah, I mean that's not really what we're just talking about. I'm just talking about a broad, tentative, you know, theoretical framework.
Yeah,
that's the way science works.
Yeah, for instance,
only when it becomes rigid and impervious to falsification. That it becomes a problem.
Yeah,
but this is a way to guide your attention and to guide your focus. You know, you got to go somewhere. Otherwise, you're just a victim of a whole bunch of random claims and factoids and rumors that don't add up to anything.
Right. Well, one thing that I've always found fascinating about, you know, my 20 years now going on, keeping an eye on the San Luis Valley in southern Colorado is the coincidental aspect that we kind of mentioned briefly before, and the synchronicities, whether it's societal events, weird weather, abnormal roadkill on the road, unusual numbers of fires. These types of things tend to happen during waves of UFO sightings, I found. And it's not a steadfast rule. But, boy, when those things do occur concurrently with some of the reports that are filed, it's hard not to to kind of perk up a little bit and say, I wonder if there's some sort of connection there, if there's a correlation. So, yeah, I think it's important to have, like you said, some sort of theoretical framework within which to bounce all this craziness off of, because you're not going to last very long out in the field if you don't. It's going to take you and eat you up and spit you out. And I've seen it happen. I know you have. Gene has. We've seen it happen to people that just the heat in the kitchen gets too hot and people got to bail. And it's unfortunate, but that's one of the reasons why that happens.
You know, if you want to do something easy, stay out of this field.
Oh, man, was that an understatement? Gosh. Oh, boy. Well, here's one, a good question here from Ufology up in Calgary, Alberta. What aspect of your work as a ufologist has given you the most satisfaction over the years?
Well, to repeat myself, on one level, the airship phenomenon, which continues to fascinate and intrigue
yeah.
me. On the other level is the work that I did on that multi-volume UFO encyclopedia series.
Yeah, well, that's...
Which occurred in the 1990s, and which was really an effort not only to say, here's what it is, here's what this phenomenon is, well, what it looks like, not what it is, what it looks like, but also just to preserve the social history
yeah.
of the controversy. And the official investigations, the civilian groups, the hoaxes, the contactees, the theories, all these things, which I thought had never really been written about very well, with some rare exceptions like David Jacobs' 1975 book, The UFO Controversy in America. But I got to do this at great length, and I think that history will stand, and anybody in the future who comes back to that and said, what was this like?
Yeah.
What were they talking about? What were they dealing with? It's in that series.
Invaluable research tool.
Thank you. That's the most satisfying thing I've done.
You know, here's a historical thing. I don't know if you ever remember this researcher, but he had some unusual theories to offer under a pseudonym. Tom Camella?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Peter Kaur.
Right. He wrote under the name Peter Kaur, and at first you thought he was a skeptic, and then he was trying to convey some really strange aspect of UFOs in reality that we couldn't understand. What was your take on him? Could you tell our listeners more about him? And how he was part of the theorists who arose in the 60s and 70s.
Camella was a guy from kid, actually, when he started from Cleveland. And he started the Flying Saucer Bulletin, oh, maybe 55, mid-50s. And he was just kind of typical. He was kind of gullible, but he did also publish interesting material, and he was sort of more open-minded about contactees than I was at his age and remain. But he eventually evolved into this sort of alternative personality, Peter Kaur. And Camilla Kaur began publishing these essays in Ray Palmer's Flying Saucers magazine. And they were really both esoteric and egocentric. And it wasn't always possible to understand what he was saying. And he would refer to himself in the third person in this kind of oracular style, which was really off-putting. And he was basically, as I read him, and then I subsequently had some not terribly pleasant correspondence with him, that he was essentially a skeptic. He was just had a kind of different focus on it, but his prose was often impenetrable.
I know that I had some correspondence with him over the years, talked to him on the phone. In person, he was a very pleasant guy.
Oh, that's good.
Totally pleasant.
I hear that, seriously.
Right, but when you read these articles, you got the impression, as you did, of someone who was very egocentric, wanted you to believe that he had some kind of information or knowledge, but his prose, as you say, was so dense, it was impossible to see what was going on. At first, he came across as a skeptic, and then he said, well, no, there's more going on here, and you've got to understand what I'm saying, and you've got to look at the points that I'm directing you to. But then nobody ever got it figured out. And every time you thought you had it figured out, it wasn't quite something that you could figure out. With Gene,
well, you just got the feeling at some point that it wasn't worth the effort.
Was he just playing a game with all of us? We'll have to wonder. We're talking to Jerome Clark, author of Unexplained, third edition, with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you want to get your website online and you need reliable service, first-class service at the lowest possible price, there's only one place to go. Well, DreamHost has a special promotion with our show where they'll offer you unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click web apps such as WordPress, 24/7 support. You can save over $55. You want to know how? Go to DreamHost.com/radio, DreamHost.com/radio. Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com.
Clear out your pantry and make room in your closets. You're going to need the space for these hot August deals at BePrepared.com. Going on now, save 23% on Provident Pantry Scrambled Egg Mix or 28% on freeze-dried strawberry slices. New this month, baking cocoa for daily use or long-term storage. Buy one of the Provident Pantry baking or dessert combos and save up to $25 off individual component pricing. Or add some weight to your water storage at BePrepared.com. The ultimate 55-gallon water barrel combo is on sale this month for only $94.99. Food and water storage is great, but how are you going to cook it in an emergency? The popular Volcano 2 collapsible stove. Save $27.96 off MSRP. Go to BePrepared.com for more details and more August savings now through August 31st. Call 800-999-1863 to experience exceptional customer service and BePrepared.com's low price guarantee. That's 800-999-1863. The choice is clear. Be unprepared or BePrepared.com.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock, save you money, and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
How would you like to have normal blood pressure?
This is Ernesto from Illinois. I had my doctor's appointment yesterday, and I got my labs in. My HDL is 119L, and my LDL is 37L. My doctor asked what I was doing to lower it so much, so I told her about HB Extract.
Millions of people, like Ernesto, are suffering from high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, and clogged arteries. But now there's an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation. Heart and Body Extract.
My blood pressure has not gone past 125 over 80 in almost a month.
Experience amazing benefits when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract.
She did a double take when she looked at my ER labs. She couldn't believe it.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
Thank you. Heart and Body Extract.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
With Gene and Chris on the PowerCast, one more segment with Jerome Clark, who's author of Unexplained in the third edition. We were talking about a peculiar UFO researcher, writer, theorist named Thomas M. Camilla from the Cleveland area, as a matter of fact, who wrote under the name Peter Kaur, very dense theories. So if you find his stuff online, I gather if you look hard enough, you'll find material from him. Should we all just assume he was just playing games with us and drop it all?
Well, what I think was that to the extent that he had any good ideas, which he seemed to have difficulty communicating coherently, they did get picked up in later discourse and debate among ufologists, you know, Jacques Vallée and some of my early books and people like that who were, got interested in the subjective aspects of, high strangeness UFO experience. And Vallée, for example, in his 1969 book, Passport to Magonia, wrote quite coherently and influentially some, you know, dissident and unusual revisionist ideas about the meaning of UFO experiences. And so I think that Kaur's significance kind of faded over time, and whatever it was to start with, it just wasn't that important. It's just kind of a footnote.
It's kind of something where he kept saying the same thing over and over again. It became repetitious, and you were never sure what he was talking about or whether he was even serious or not.
Well,
he might have been playing word games.
Anybody who presents himself as smarter and wiser than all of his readers is generally someone not worth reading.
Yeah. Huh. I loved all his books. I mean, I devoured them when they came out.
You mean Jacques Vallée?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, we were talking more about Tom Camilla, though.
Yeah.
Do you remember Camilla?
I don't. That's the name kind of rings a bell, but that, I'm not.
I was just looking over material online, and I saw a lot of names with which we were all familiar, Jerry, and then this one came across out of the blue. Are we done with the questions?
There is you seem to get this question every time you're on, Jerry, and that is to try to nail down your three favorite cases that you find most interesting and puzzling. I think the airship wave would rank up there as number one. Any other cases that really stand out in your mind as being pivotal, possibly, or more important than others?
Well, it depends on what you're looking for. For example, if you're looking for evidence of the presence of an advanced technology behind the UFO phenomenon, presumably extraterrestrial. I mean, there are cases like that. You know, the RB-47 case is the one that always comes up. And, the Transcend Provence physical trace case, the coin helicopter case. I mean, there are some very good cases, very well investigated, well documented, seemingly impervious to debunking, that suggest that, yes, there may very well be extraterrestrials visiting us with an advanced technology. If you're looking for that, yes, there are some cases like that, and I just mentioned several. But if you're interested, as I more and more am, in the most, the more extreme experiential cases,
yeah,
Yeah, you've got the Sherman Ranch case and a whole bunch of other stuff that you can have a lot of fun with. You're not going to nail things down the way you do with some of these really physical cases, but you're going to be open to all kinds of really intriguing possibilities.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. The cases that have the inexplicable elements are the ones that tend to get my juices flowing, I think, a little bit more than your rank-and-file light in the sky darting around. Close encounter cases, of course, come to mind. There's been a number of them. The Dr. X case, the Michelac case, there's been a number of them, leaving behind physical evidence, even lasting injury. The Calara cases down in Brazil in the late 70s, early 80s spring to mind. There are a bunch of them out there, and I do urge our listeners to pick up Jerry's books and get yourself up to speed. Jerry is one of the esteemed historians and experts in this field, if you can call anyone an expert. But I think it boils down to the quality of questions that we ask. I think at some point we're going to start asking the right questions, and we might actually get somewhere.
Yeah, I think actually we probably have made some progress. We're just so close to it that it's only in retrospect that we're going to be able to figure out what we were able to figure out.
I agree.
I think that if we weren't making any progress in our understanding, maybe not solving things, but at least having a greater sense of what we're dealing with, then the whole thing would be futile, and I just can't bear to think that all our efforts are futile.
Yeah,
it's hard to think that you've been at this thing for 50 years and you wake up one day and you say, hey, what have I been doing for the past 50 years? Has it been worth it? Maybe I should have gotten a day job.
I think that all of us started out thinking that we were going to solve this. I think all of us now understand we're not going to solve this. But I think that anybody who's really thoughtful and knowledgeable gets at least the satisfaction of knowing that I have a better sense of what we're dealing with. What seems to happen, what seems not to happen, what the parameters of these phenomena are, and how they're likely to be experienced and how they're not likely to be experienced. And so I think that there are a lot of things I understand. I think that probably a percentage of UFO reports may be from visitors from our crowded galaxy. If life is common in the galaxy, we're probably going to see evidence of that, and we may see evidence of that in extraterrestrial visitors. I think that that's probably the best explanation for some UFO reports. But there are plenty of other high strangeness UFO reports and other kinds of ostensibly non-UFO phenomena that are going to require an entirely different explanation, which we're never going to get to because we simply don't have a framework to get to that knowledge. But nonetheless, we can get some sense of at least what it's like and how it works.
Before you depart this world, do you think we'll know anything really more about UFOs and the related mysteries?
Depends on how long I live. I'm 65, so every day is a blessing. And
Jerry Lewis is 86. He's still going strong, so you never know.
I think it all depends. I think that the core UFO phenomena is solvable. It just needs the attention and resources that scientists have. And that's really all that it takes. I believe that if science was really applied to UFO sightings, the core UFO phenomenon, we'd probably learn a lot in reasonably short order. But our understanding of that depends on something we have no control over, and that is science deciding to let down its guard and really look at this.
Or, of course, if there are...
probably not going to happen for another generation of scientists.
But then, of course, if UFOs represent ET, maybe they will one day decide to make their presence known. In reality, not in these figments or strange semi-real encounters.
Well, you're talking about the landing on the White House lawn. For which remains theoretically possible, but I don't think any of us are anticipating that.
The other question would be, of course, would E.T. want to land on the White House lawn? Would that be the ideal place to go? Why not some other country? Why not the U.N.? Certainly,
well,
if they're...
I think that the whole idea is that the E.T.s would show themselves unambiguously. And the White House lawn is just one of many places they could do that.
Well, they got stingers up on top of the roof of the White House, so be careful. Be careful of violating restricted airspace, E.T.
Yeah.
I don't think it would bother E.T. at all.
But I don't think it's going to happen, at least not very soon.
Very soon. The book is called Unexplained, and the subtitle, Strange Sightings, Incredible Occurrences, and Puzzling Physical Phenomena, third edition. We only covered the very basics here. You got to buy a copy of the book. It's available in all the usual offenders. Jerry Clark, you still don't have a website, do you?
No.
So if we want to look at your works, we just go online, do a Google search?
Do a Google search, go to an online bookseller, and just type in Jerome Clark, and there it is. And the new book, Unexplained, is nearly 500 pages long. It comes front matter, so there's a lot of stuff in there, and much of it will be new to people. And what can I say? I hope they read it and enjoy it.
Chris O'Brien, where do we find more of your stuff?
Well, we live in a strange planet. It's ourstrangeplanet.com. And, Jerry, I want to thank you so much again for coming back on. This is an invaluable research tool. Thanks a lot.
And there's one more thing to mention. You want to find us. On Twitter, we are the Paracast. There's a Paracast fan club on Facebook. Actually, two of them, we have to find a way to merge them. Now, Jerry doesn't get into the social networking stuff, so we don't have to worry about that. Or visit our forums, forum.theparacast.com. Jerry Clark, thanks for joining us on the Paracast.
My pleasure.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it, now you can. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.